Today's reading is taken from Genesis, the beginning, chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering above the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that light was good, and he separated the darkness from the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky. And there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let the dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered water he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it, according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. And let there be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God gave them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that this was good. And there was evening and there was morning on the fourth day. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the waters teems and that moves about in it, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the water in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, that and each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and over livestock, and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves along the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give you every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Kevin. Shall we pray? Father God, we thank you for the wonder of creation, for the beauty that surrounds us, that lifts our hearts and points our souls to you. Lord, open our eyes to the world around us and the good news of Jesus Christ, that we might follow him and see your kingdom come for his sake. Amen. When I was a student, I went winter walking in the High Pyrenees. We went high up a mountain to walk around what turned out to be a frozen lake. The temperature had plummeted and it was -8, and by the time you took into account wind chill, -20. Fresh snow had fallen in the valley and the extreme cold had frozen its surface. So the sun glinted off the ice and the frozen trees. It sparkled into the azure sky. Not a single soul had walked through that valley. The snowfall was left untouched, and it was like gazing onto a landscape that was absolutely, entirely brand new. No trace of human activity, no sign of animals, as if it had just been created in that moment. I was wearing a lot of very warm clothes, so I was able to enjoy it, to look at its beauty and its wonder, and it remains one of the most amazing things that I have ever seen. It was as if someone had drawn it. It was just so beautiful. For me, it was a moment where you could almost see the fingerprints of God in the snow. Now, I start with this winter wonderland, but I could equally have described a sunset over water, the fragile first light of mist in a forest, the gentle soft warmth of a sleeping cat's fur, or the smell of rain as it hits dry ground. The world around us is filled with such beauty that it makes people who make absolutely no claims of faith to wonder if God might just be real. It's just too beautiful for random chance, too extraordinary to not be crafted by some master craftsman. That intricacy, that delicate balance that points towards a creator rather than the outworking of probability and random chance. So what has God ever done for us? God created all things. But more than that, God wants to let us know that he is real. God reveals himself to us. God makes himself knowable. God teaches us who he is. And before we have even opened the cover of a Bible, we have the most extraordinary love letter of God's existence conceivable. The world around us. Thinkers and poets alike draw their inspiration from what they see. Scientists and artists practice their craft on the prompting of what they see and hear and feel and taste. We live in a wonderful world. But the idea that it could have been created brings with it an even greater sense of anticipation. If the world is created and not some beautiful accident, then what must the creator of the universe be like? A creator who conceives landscapes and livestock and koala bears. A creator who put the blueprint for music and mascarpone in our DNA. Creation reveals its creator. And that fundamental truth is told in the opening words of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The story in the Bible begins with creation because it is the place where so many people begin to explore who God is. Or at the very least, they begin to wonder. They see the world around them and ponder. So the first time we come into the Bible, it answers that question for us. Now we can read Genesis as a literal creation narrative or as a poetic piece of theological writing that explores God's role in creation. But it doesn't change the main point that Genesis tries to make. Do you see all of this around us? God made that. And that, and that, and that, and you, and you, and you. God made all of it. We read about it across two creation narratives in the book of Genesis, from John's prologue in the beginning of his story of who Jesus is. We encounter these words in the Psalms, in the words of the prophets. Even the book of Revelation joins in, describing how the world will be at the end of time itself. The created world speaks to us of God's power and his authority. But it's not all dewy-eyed gazing. There are moments when the world around us is deeply challenging. Natural disasters, one animal eating another, the suffering that comes from drought or flood, the death and destruction of the world of parasitic wasps and mind-controlling fungi. If these things talk of a creator, then we might have slightly different ideas about what that creator would be like. But whilst the world around us begins the conversation of God, it doesn't end it. Because the wonder of God, who continues to play out in creation as much as he did before it began. When we look at the world around us and we see pain and suffering and struggle coming from the natural world, what we see are the problems of sin, distorting and corrupting how the world was meant to be. That's what we would find in Genesis if we made Kevin keep reading. And he did do such a good job, but I think getting him to read all the way to Genesis 3 might have been a bit much for one morning. After the fall, when Adam and Eve have sinned, and the consequences of that sin are declared over them, God says this to Adam. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. We see here that sin corrupts not just Adam and Eve and humanity, but the created world as well. The impact of his sin shapes how the world develops. So when we see the natural world being a place of suffering and of death, it reflects the corruption of sin rather than the goodness of God. And this is a really important idea in us making theological sense of the world around us. If we want to claim that the beauty of the world points to God being good, then we need to be able to understand why the ugly and destructive parts of the natural world don't speak of God being evil. They speak instead of the corruption of sin, and they point to the need of a redeemer. Jesus' death, his resurrection, and his ascension bring with them the promise that salvation is not just for humanity, but for the whole of creation. We hear that in the voice of God proclaimed in the book of Revelation. "I am making all things new," the voice declares in Revelation 21, verse 5. This promise to make the earth new, as well as our relationship with God, means that while we have enjoyed renewed relationship with God, the universe around us will be renewed as well. That which causes suffering is brought into line with God's abundant goodness. That which promotes death will bring life. And again, this is promised in Scripture. Isaiah 11, verse 6 says this: "The wolf will lie down with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the young goat. The calf and the lion will graze together, and a little child will lead them." The good news of the gospel is good news for creation as well as for people. The impact of Jesus' death and resurrection is in fact cosmic, not just local. That's why our hymns and songs of worship proclaim that the stars will worship the Lord as well as us. If we want to use the created world around us as a starting point for conversations with people about faith, then we have to remember that the whole of the story is useful in creation, not just the nice bits. It's true that it's less common for people to use the suffering of creation as a reason to deny the existence of God, but it's certainly a trip hazard for a lot of people. When we discuss faith, it's really important to be able to agree with those who name things as being difficult, and news stories about natural disasters are certainly difficult. When we see the suffering and loss that people endure around the world, we want to weep with them. We want to cry out, "Why?" with them. But these problems, like so much of the suffering in the world, are the consequence of sin, not of God's perfect creation. And like all problems caused by sin, ultimately God has it in hand and will bring about their redemption. The gift of creation is a gift which can draw us closer to God. And I wonder how you let that happen in your own life. Do you take the time to pause when you see something amazing and whisper a prayer of thanks? Do you ever respond with an alleluia as you gaze out on landscapes? Do you see a rainbow in the sky and remember that God is faithful? These gifts are given that you might know the truth that God, who created all things, loves you and treasures you, and above all things, wants to know you. So what has God done for us? He created all things that we might marvel in their wonder and beauty and be drawn day by day nearer to him. Shall we pray? Father God, we thank you for your goodness towards us. I pray now that in this moment of stillness in church, we might think of the wonders of creation. Invite each one of you just to think of something that you experienced in the world in the last week that was beautiful, that brought you joy, that brought you excitement. Something you ate, or you saw, or you heard. And I invite you just to give thanks to God for whatever that was. Thank you, God, that you are in rainbows, that you're in meals shared with friends, that you're in drinks on a hot day. Thank you, Lord, that you are with us in everything. As we give thanks, we think of those who we regularly share the beauty of the world with. Perhaps those who don't know you, but those who are blown away by the wonder of creation. We pray, Lord God, that you would use each one of us as someone who gives voice to your hand in being a creator, that we might share the joy of our faith, that we worship a God who created all things. We pray, Lord God, for opportunities to share this good news so that other people may share in the joy of knowing Jesus. We ask all of this for his sake. Amen.